Greetings and good morning, Western Colorado. Thanks for listening to Mountain Grown Community Radio, KVNF. It's 8 o'clock, and here's your local newscast for Friday, January 18th. Colorado's Speaker of the House says he expects lawmakers to act on several of President Barack Obama's recommendations to curb gun violence. Benta Berkland reports that Governor John Hickenlooper has also called for a broad discussion on guns during the legislative session.
Democrat Mark Ferrandino of Denver says he doubts the legislature will move forward on all of Mr. Obama's proposals, but says one of the president's goals is already gaining traction.
I think you will see a bill in this legislative session around universal background checks. Some will say, well, when the president's pushing it, why don't we wait for Congress to do it? Good luck with that.
Mr. Obama is also asking for a ban on assault weapons and high-capacity magazine clips. Ferrandino says he's not sure if Democrats will sponsor those bills, but he thinks the effort could save lives.
Some of those things of changing clips give people the time to either go after the shooter or flee.
The president also said he intends to use whatever weight his office holds to make his proposal a reality, but it faces an uphill battle in Congress. Gun measures in Colorado could go farther. Democrats control both chambers and the governor's office. But so far, it's not clear how much gun legislation the party wants to push. I'm Benta Berkland at the state capitol.
This week, residents and business owners from the North Fork Valley returned to Washington, D.C. in hopes of stopping the Bureau of Land Management proposal to lease 20,000 acres for oil and gas development. This is the second time Citizens for a Healthy Community, a local conservation group, has sponsored the trip. On Wednesday, the group met with BLM federal officials and urged them to remove all 20 parcels in the North Fork Valley from the February oil and gas lease. The group included Landon Dean, owner of the Eagle Butte Ranch in Paonia and the T. Lazy 7 Ranch in Aspen, Ty Gillespie, owner of Azura Cellars and Gallery near Paonia, Marley Hodgson, owner of the Smith Fork Ranch near Crawford, Pete Kolbenschlag, Paonia resident and owner of Mountain West Strategies Consulting Firm, and Eugenia Bone, food and wine author. KVNF's Ariana Brocious spoke with Pete Kolbenschlag and Landon Dean on Wednesday about their visit.
Pete, can you give us a brief overview of what you guys have been doing in D.C.?
Sure. So we've met with Senator Bennett's staff and Senator Udall's staff, Congressman Tipton's staff, and then we had a meeting with the National Director and Deputy Director of the Bureau of Land Management. And essentially we're back here to try to understand why it seems that the Colorado State Office of BLM is ignoring a lot of good advice from a lot of folks that they need to make sure they have adequate management plan in place before they even have this conversation. And everyone we've been meeting with hasn't really been able to come up with an answer to that question. But I think we've all felt that it was really good that we were back here raising these concerns and putting it back on their radar.
What's been the response you're getting from people in D.C.? You said they don't really have an answer for why this has continued?
For the most part, people understand what our concerns are, and a common response is that people are really glad that we're back here bringing it to their attention because often they don't hear a lot from people on the ground. Most of the response is that it seems we have real good, legitimate concerns. In general, the reaction has been, we're really glad you're here. These are issues that we do really need to think about, and it's timely that you've done so with the lease sale pending. And it was clear from the BLM meeting that the decision has not been made yet, and so we're hoping it will be fruitful.
What are you bringing up to these people that you're meeting, and maybe some of the other participants could comment, sort of why you're sending a vintner and someone who's a rancher and these different voices from the valley?
I'll start and then we'll hand it over to Landon. The group we've brought out is reflective of folks in the valley. What's different from our, you may recall, we sent a similar delegation out here last year when this issue first came up. And what's different this year is that we are making it clear that we want In the intervening time, we have worked proactively in our valley to try to come up with an approach that we can share with the BLM on how they might protect and properly manage this landscape of a North Fork Community Alternative, we've called it. And we wanted to bring that back here to D.C. to show BLM here nationally that we're serious about, one, protecting our valley, and two, working with BLM if they're willing to work with us. But unfortunately, the state office in Colorado does not seem to want to do that.
Our ranch, unfortunately, has two major problems. One is that we're surrounded on three sides by BLM land, which is all land that's set to be leased for gas and oil drilling. And additionally, there's a split estate problem. There's a parcel that's located on our property in an area where we were going to put an organic hops field in that we own the surface rights and the BLM owns the mineral rights. And they have that up for leasing also. So we have a very vested interest in trying to follow through with our vision of getting these leases pulled again. And just felt it very important to come back and be part of this delegation. They were very, very, very glad that we came out and gave us the impression that it seemed to make a big difference.
And did they give any indication that there will be a decision related to your visit or that there will be any sort of response on the official BLM level?
I don't think we can speculate to that yet. They did give us indication that they had been and would be following up with supporting in any way they can our concerns. We might be in a wait-and-see mode on what the decision comes out to, but they gave us the impression they were very, very supportive.
Did you feel that last year's visit had an impact?
Oh, most definitely. Absolutely. We had gotten letters from them stating that they thought that our group was very organized, very effective. They stated that the letters that people write, both in the comment period and then hopefully the ones in the protest period, were extremely effective, and they actually do read them all, which is nice to know. And it really, really appeared to be very effective last year. And we noticed that when we came back this time, they all remembered everything about our meeting last year. They remembered who we were, all the details, and they had done a tremendous amount of homework on the current status. So I think that the little North Fork Valley is making a big impression in D.C.
Once again, it was the Citizens for a Healthy Community that sent us out here, and we do feel the support of a lot of folks back in the North Fork Valley.
Thanks again to both of you, and safe travels home.
Thanks.
Staff from the Bureau of Land Management's state office will be in the North Fork Valley early next week to meet with town representatives. Special town council meetings have been scheduled for Hotchkiss and Crawford. The meeting times are as follows. Monday, January 21st, 6:30 p.m. in Hotchkiss. Tuesday, January 22nd, 5 p.m. in Crawford. Also on Tuesday, January 22nd, BLM will visit Paonia's Town Council during their regular meeting at 7 p.m. The Colorado Legislature prints millions of pieces of paper each year, costing the state a hefty sum. But that could soon be a thing of the past. This year, in an effort to cut down on costs, each of the 100 lawmakers received new iPads. Benta Berkland has more from the state capitol.
Plans to make the lawmaking process paperless began last year, and so far it seems lawmakers are on board with the idea of reading and studying pending legislation electronically.
I love them. I think they are going to be the answer.
That's Democratic Senator Mary Hodge of Brighton. She says the iPad is convenient for keeping track of bills.
Not having to look things up in your drawers and not having to have somebody file your stuff and having it with you all the time, it's going to be a miracle. I'm old and I'm not very tech savvy and I'm happy.
By the end of the four-month session, many lawmakers, including Democratic Senator Nancy Todd from Aurora, say they often feel buried in paperwork.
Instead of carrying a stack of folders home, You're going to take your iPad, and you've got all the same information right in here. And the really neat thing is that you can actually write on your bills on your iPad.
So just how much paper and money can an iPad really save? Every member in the House and Senate gets a copy of each of the 600 bills introduced during a typical legislative session. According to nonpartisan staff, each of the nearly 6 million printed pages costs about 2 cents to print. Then there's the daily journal and event calendars. Republican Senator Kent Lambert of Colorado Springs serves on the Joint Budget Committee. Lambert says he thinks it's a good technology and he'd like to expand its use to other areas of state government.
Especially, we're going to have a conversation about district attorneys, for instance. They have to provide a lot of evidence and a lot of paperwork for public defenders, and that's a very expensive proposition, you know, many millions of dollars. If we can transition to a more electronic environment, other branches of government may save in the long run.
Even though technology is catching up with the lawmaking process, the state's still printing paper copies of everything. But in future years, legislative leaders say it'll likely be on a case-by-case basis. I'm Benta Berkland at the State Capitol.
On Wednesday, San Miguel County Commissioners voted to extend a moratorium on new telecommunications towers for an additional 6 months. The Telluride Daily Planet reports that the moratorium will temporarily ban the development of new towers taller than 35 feet in an effort to protect environmental resources and minimize adverse impacts on scenic qualities. The moratorium will expire on July 16th and doesn't include the West End. The Planet reports that the moratorium will give county staff time to amend the land use code and create guidelines for new towers. Commissioners enacted a temporary moratorium in December after their reluctant approval of Mercury Tower's 195-foot cell tower just outside of Norwood. Commissioner Art Goodtimes told The Planet he wasn't surprised no one showed up to comment on the moratorium, even though the Norwood Tower received public support. Goodtimes says that after last year's divisive decision, there's public support for creating new guidelines. San Miguel County has already started receiving applications for future towers. County staff expects to have a draft of the new regulations ready within a few weeks, which they will then present to the County Planning Commission in mid-March. In observance of Martin Luther King Jr. Day, many state offices will be closed on Monday. State troopers will be patrolling the highways, and Department of Transportation maintenance crews will be working as necessary. And now for the latest look at our western slope skies from members of the Black Canyon Astronomical Society.
On Saturday night, January 26th, a full moon will rise in the east just after sunset. Look at the full moon when it's still near the horizon. Does it appear especially large to you? Then look at the moon later this same night when it's higher in the sky. Does it appear smaller? For most people, the moon looks much larger when on the horizon. This is the moon illusion. Even though the moon looks bigger near the horizon, the apparent size of the moon is actually very slightly smaller when it's near the horizon than when it's high in the sky. When the moon is overhead, it's about 4,000 miles closer to us than when it's near the horizon. This distance corresponds to the Earth's radius. Why, then, does the moon look so big when it's near the horizon? This question has been debated for centuries. Consensus among scientists is that the moon illusion is a psychological phenomenon. However, the exact nature of that effect is vigorously debated. One theory is that our brains expect an object on the horizon to be much farther away from us than the same object when seen overhead. So our brains compensate for that by making objects on the horizon seem larger. To me, the rising full moon still looks huge, even when I know it should appear very slightly smaller than when it's high in the sky later that same night. You've been listening to Western Slope Skies, produced by members of the Black Canyon Astronomical Society. I'm Mark Tribina.
And that concludes your daily newscast for Friday. For KVNF, Mountain Grown Community Radio, my name is Eric Gould. I'll be back with you on Monday morning. Have a great weekend, everybody, and thanks so much for listening.